for tuning in to another episode of Reflections with Dr. Gary Harvey. Really appreciate it for all the love, all the support you guys keep showing. We got a special guest today, so it's going to be a good night. Definitely trying to make some big things happen. Want to remind everybody, just in case you forgot, it is Black History Month. I mean, everybody was on fire the first 3-4 days of the month, and then after that, it was like they forgot. We definitely not forgetting here and trying to do what we can to make an impact. That being said, want to take a couple minutes. We've got our Queen BZ Cosmetics. Definitely want to keep shouting them out, the support and love that they've shown us here at the podcast. And they got a new line of matte lipsticks that just dropped, so go ahead and hit them up, Instagram, Facebook. Check them out. Check out the colors and what they got available. Definitely some solid products there. And then we got Valentine's Day coming up. And if you're down in the Jacksonville, Florida area, Living Beauty Florals, make sure you check her out, Miss Chanel Lee. And go to Facebook, Instagram. She got a website as well. And hit them up. Definitely does some amazing arrangements. She was showing me one yesterday, actually, that I almost bought for myself. I'm going to give myself some flowers. Definitely love it there and want to show some love and support back. But we're going to go ahead and jump into tonight's topic. We've got a founder and CEO of Voices in Black Empowerment with us tonight, Mr. Tom Malone. And so we are going to go ahead. We're going to take a look at this mirror. We're going to face the man in the mirror, look at the reflection, see if we can't become better than what it is that we started. And so with that being said, Mr. Malone, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, sir.
Oh, definitely. Now, you know, some people in the local area know who you are. You know, you're active in the community, and, you know, I'll let you kind of dive into some of that. But just introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself before we jump into really what the organization is and about, and how it is that you guys are making an impact.
Well, I grew up in Elmira, New York, and since most of my family was here in Olean, I would spend my vacations and my summers all out here. So as I got to be a younger man, I decided, you know, where I wanted to raise my kids was out here in Olean with where my family was. So I moved out here about 20-something years ago, 1999, and permanently moved out here, bought my house, and been living here ever since, working it out in the community, my nephew came to me this summer and said that he needed some help out here, trying to get things changed. I tried to tell him that he wasn't really ready for all that, and he wanted to wake me up. So next thing you know, we're starting Voices in Black Empowerment. I realized that, you know, in order for Black people to get real change, it's going to have to come politically. There's going to have to be legislation. Can't just be talking and promises. It has to come through legislation. And so, therefore, I couldn't just create a 501c3. I had to create a 501c4 so that we could be into politics and be able to support people that were running, be able to raise up candidates, and actually be able to have people in there that are actually fighting for us.
Okay. So, you know, expand on Vibe a little bit. You know, I'm loving, I gotta say, I'm loving the logo. You know, I noticed the colors. I don't know how many people have actually noticed the colors that are in the logo. As far as that's concerned, but I know I definitely paid attention to it. Obviously the Black Power symbol. But with that being said, expand a little bit on the organization itself.
So, like I said, we're a 501c4 nonprofit. That means, you know, we don't get the regular grants that normal 501c3s would get. We have to get out there and get every penny that we're trying to get. We are fighting for things on the city level, the county, the state, federal level. Eventually we'll have lawyers on staff that will actually go in and try to change legislation. We'll be lobbying for different laws and different policies. And like I said, we're going to be raising, you know, our youth in civil, teaching them civil, how civil engagement works, and how to become aldermen and mayors and governors, and then we can actually, once they're ready, we can actually back that person. Okay. Most organizations, they you know, there's laws that say that they can't get involved with politics, they have to stay out of that. So in order for us to be able to make that real change, I knew we had to do it a little differently, so we went with the 501c4.
Okay. And you guys are still relatively young. As a nonprofit.
Opened up and we actually got our paperwork done in October of this year, of last year.
So October of last year, okay. All right, so with, you know, that being said, the things that you want to progress in and are looking to progress in, I mean, is there anything like right now that you guys, since launching in October, getting started and getting your, you know, feet hitting the ground, is there anything specific that you're focusing on now?
Well, I'm currently on the police reform board. That was one of the things that Vibe was going to be working on, was criminal justice aspect, police reform, and so it kind of all played out into working out really well. And just engaging in the city, trying to get everybody, you know, it's hard to get, everybody has a voice and will express themselves, but when it's really time for action and get in there, get in the mud and really make some policy and get some things done, it's hard to get people mobilized for that. And so I'm just, you know, we're out there trying to do everything that we can. We're working on right now writing a Black-owned business program and also home ownership program. I realized that, I don't know if maybe people know about first-time home buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to do a little something different than first-time home buyers. I understand, like, for instance, I have over $250,000 worth of assets. I have credit, you know, 700 and something credit score. But I still can't go to the bank and get a loan for some reason. So we're going to do things a little differently.
For some reason?
What's that?
For some reason?
For some reason.
For some reason. That lofty reason that is unattainable.
Yeah. I really, people tell me a bunch of different things that play into effect with it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did as a younger person, I took in, wrote all those things down and made sure I checked off all those boxes so that when I did go into the bank, they would give me a loan.
Right, right.
But it didn't happen. And so the only thing that I can suggest is, you know, like, we got to work a little harder. But like I said, Vibe is going about it a different way. We're not going to use your normal credit score. We also understand that it's hard for people to come up with, you know, a down payment to buy a house or start a business. So we're going to help them come up with different grants and different opportunities to be able to come up with that, the money that they would need to start the business or even buy the house.
Okay. Okay. So you're not actually talking about becoming a lender yourself necessarily, but just helping people through the process and pointing them in the right direction. Like, you know, these banks might be available in your area, but did you know there's these 14, 15, 23 Black-owned banks that you can go to? You know, those types of things.
Actually, I've checked into a lot of the Black-owned banks,
mm-hmm.
and the problem with that is right now, they only lend in a certain amount of area because they don't have enough capital to go across
country.
Okay. There are people, the Greenwood Bank, they're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm doing is I'm trying to go to different entities and get enough money to put in into a kitty so that we will have enough money to start doing this.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We will actually, we won't be a lender, but instead of the person needing to, you know, a first-time home buyer usually works, you have a certain amount of money down, you take some classes,
mm-hmm.
they'll give you $10,000 to put down as a down payment on the house, and then you stay there for 10 years.
Right.
But if you sell the house within 10 years, then you got to pay the money back. If you stay there after 10 years, you don't have to pay that money back.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is, talk to the city, talk to different organizations. There is government money out there that we might be able to get that will, so that instead of, that person will still have to go through those financial classes, learn how to straighten out their credit if it's messed up, make sure, learn how to, you know, repair your house, take care of your taxes. You know, owning a house is more than just paying a mortgage.
Right.
And we want to teach them that, because the goal is just to create generational wealth.
Okay.
We don't want them to get the house and then in a couple of years not be able to have it, or lose it in some kind of way from not paying taxes. So we're thinking about everything, and trying to get as much help as possible to do it.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's a level of financial maturity that's not taught. You know, and it's like you're kind of left out there on your own, and people, they take that next step, but they can't sustain the next step, or they don't know what step to take. And so to be able to go somewhere that understands some of the obstacles that everyone's going through, but then obstacles that, you know, minorities or disadvantaged individuals are struggling with on top of the normal, you know, because whether people want to admit it or not, there are additional roadblocks. You know, we might be running the same race, we might have the same obstacles in front of us, but you've got ankle weights on just because of where you're from, or, you know, your race essentially. And you know, so to have a place where people can go and, you know, kind of get some direction, I think is very important. And I know that you know, that's one of the things that I've talked about on previous episodes as well, and with other people. So that's outstanding. And it's, I think what's really cool too is it's coming from little town of Olean, you know, I mean, that you know, where kind of ground zero, you know, where that impact is for that epicenter, so to speak, for this area. And I think that's very impactful. What's one thing you wish you would have known, though, when you decided that, hey, I'm gonna put my hand to the plow and we gonna start this thing?
I would say everything there is to know about the organization, how to run an organization, how to start it, the things that you have to think about, writing bylaws.
Okay.
There's just so much that goes into it. It's not an easy task.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the hardest things that I've ever did in my life.
Okay.
I come from construction. That's what I do. You know, I buy houses, fix them up. This was nothing like that. It was pretty hard, and just knowing the ins and outs of how an organization works and everything.
Right. I think that's a common misconception. I think a lot of people think that, you know, hey, I'm going to slap a name on something, I got this good idea, let me go register and let me go run with the ball. And, you know, they got the refs looking like they were, you know, last Sunday, just throwing laundry all over the place, you know. And yeah, I think that's really important. Now, is that something that, you know, maybe with you going through it now, you could help others go through it as well?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay.
Most definitely. I actually, we're about to, so when a nonprofit, how nonprofits work, I don't know if everybody knows, but like usually a nonprofit would start out as a 501c3. And then they would do everything out in the community that they could possibly do. And then they would find out, like, wait a minute, we really need to be able to push this issue so that we can help more people. But then they find out they can't push that issue. They'll call it lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what they would have to do is start a 501c4. So I kind of did it opposite. I started the 501c4, and I'm getting ready to work on starting the 501c3 now.
Okay. And both have two very different approaches. Like you said, you know, there's certain things that one can do that the other can't. And, you know, you can get yourself in trouble not knowing the difference there. You know, so definitely understand that. So what would you say, and not necessarily just with Vibe, but just in general, from start to finish, from, you know, you... Like a lot of people, you know, when I was in high school, you know, I hit 16, I was like, oh, I'm a man. And it's like, then, you know, I realized I'm not a man. And then I was 18, you know, and I'm out of high school, I'm a man. And I enlisted in the military and I'm not a man. And, you know, when I finally reached that point where I could say, okay, I've hit manhood, I'm officially my own man moving forward. What would you say your biggest failure has been? And what would you learn? What have you learned from it? And before you answer, a lot of people, especially now, because everybody's woke now, it wasn't a failure. It wasn't a loss. It was a lesson. Listen, until you can acknowledge the loss, you can't turn it into a lesson.
Amen.
You know, so with that being said, what would you say your biggest failure has been?
I mean, I've been out there thinking that I was a man since I was 14. So there's probably a lot out there. But I would have to say, honestly, I don't know if it would be a failure, but it's definitely something that I regret.
Okay.
I didn't finish high school. I had to get a GED.
Okay.
And the only reason why I got a GED was so that I could go to college.
Okay.
So when I went to college, you know, a lot of people out here know, there was an incident that I had with myself, and I ended up having to go to jail. And when I went to jail, I did my time. I come home, I check back into college, and they tell me, "Oh, Mr. Malone, you can't be here." And I said, "What do you mean? You guys already let me in?" And they say, "Well, we got to make sure that your mental state, you know, ever since Virginia Tech happened, we got to make sure your mental state is good. So we need paperwork saying that you're in good mental health to be on college campus." So I asked them who they want the paperwork from. They wanted it from the New York State Board of Parole. I didn't go to prison, so I didn't have that.
Okay.
So I went to the county judge. He signed papers for me. My attorney signed papers for me, but they wouldn't accept that.
Oh, wow.
So I couldn't finish. And you know, that hurt me, because right now they're with doing the organization. If I would have been able to finish school, then the organization would have been a lot easier. I would be able to be one of the people going to the court arguing for what we need.
Mm-hmm. Well, I first of all, I want to say thank you for your transparency. You know, that's not something that, you know, everyone readily has, especially trying to, you know, give birth to something that's going to make a difference and is fighting injustice and trying to level the playing field and make it equal. So I appreciate the transparency.
Well, you told me you didn't tell me, but you said it on one of your podcasts one day. You said
a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument.
Okay,
and
so I'm an open book. You know, everybody knows who I am. Everybody, you know, everybody has a background.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just not scared of mine.
And that's what I was gonna say. I think, you know, number one, and going back to what I said about until you can acknowledge the loss, it can't become a lesson. But I've always, you know, being a preacher, and, you know, mounting a pulpit on Sundays and or whenever, you know, I have the privilege of preaching a message. A lot of times my peers and, you know, colleagues within ministry criticize me for being too transparent. You know, I tell people too much. I let them too much into my, you know, the dirt, the dark side. And I'm of the belief, number one, if you don't know that you can hit absolute rock bottom and still get up out the mud and make something of yourself by the grace of God, then they're just going to stay where they're at, you know?
That's right.
And so even though the process hasn't been comfortable and mistakes were made and, you know, it was difficult and you're not necessarily where you would have been if, but you are in a position where you can say, even though, you can still do this. Even though, let me show you the roadmap. Let me, and that's powerful, especially when trying to reach a community of people that, you know, is facing various obstacles, because that's a common obstacle. you know, and especially in minority communities, you know, especially with some of the bogus charges. And, you know, you get, you know, poor kid gets locked up for 3 years and, you know, for allegedly stealing a backpack, you know, and, you know, just foolishness or the minor charges that they get locked up for and that follows them. And a lot of people just give up. Because they don't think that they can still reach and attain their dreams, you know. And I know myself personally, if the things I've done, I should not be where I'm at. Let's just say that, you know, ultimately. And so that's powerful. And I think it's powerful to be transparent about it. And I think it's powerful to be able to show people that, listen, you know, I did it. You can too. You know, and a lot of times we feel like that's cliche. You know, like, oh, if I can do it, everybody can do it. Well, no, everybody's not you, but you're right. But I can show you how to use your situation to attain your goal, because that's what I had to do. You know, so, I mean, that's really powerful. And that's, you know, I appreciate the transparency and the honesty. And yeah, you know, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. You can't tell me what it's not, because I know what it is.
I look at it as, you know, everything that I went through in my life, God has. People meet one of my cousins who was an older lady. We had a conversation and she called me up one day this summer and she said, Ty, you know, I'm proud of you. She said, don't let people put their fears on you.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, when you were younger, all of us would be praying for you and we would say, you know, why he doesn't have to be doing the things that he's doing and this and all this other stuff. But we know now that God put you through those things to build you for who you are right now.
Exactly.
We need, in order to get the things that we're trying to get, we have to have voices like you. You're not scared to say what you need to say. You're not scared to do what you need to do. We need people like you, and they would be able to push other people away, but you were built for this moment. Mm-hmm. So take it.
You know, it's one of these things, like if I ask you for directions, or you ask me for directions somewhere, there's a couple things that I have to know. Number one, I got to know where you're at. So until we can acknowledge where we're at, we can't get to where we need to go. Because I've got to have a starting point in order to give you directions. The second thing is, I have to have an idea and some knowledge with how to get you there. You know, regardless of what the mode of transportation is, it might be faster, it might be slower. We might get you in a car, you might be walking, might be on a bike, whatever. But I have to have already known the path in order to get you there. And I think we miss that a lot of times. And, you know, we've been talking about, you know, mentorship a lot on the program and you know, in some of the things that I'm involved in with the city. And that's something that, you know, from a ministry perspective, the podcast perspective, one of the things that's in my heart is we definitely want to launch more of a mentorship program or even like a job skills. And I mean, yeah, there's the you know, the job center here in town, but at the end of the day, some people aren't comfortable in that setting, or, you know, whatever the case may be, or they don't understand it well, and being able to teach people how to interview, how to fill out an application, how to, you know, how to dress, you know, how to tie a tie, you know, for young men, like that can be a make or break when it comes to an interview. You know, that could be the one thing that sets you apart, is how you physically present yourself.
That's right.
You know, and a lot of people don't realize that. So organizations, you know, like Vibe, that are trying to make a difference and make a tangible difference, not just let's make some noise so we can be popular, you know, but a tangible difference is definitely powerful and definitely appreciated. So what advice would you give somebody that's wanting to do something similar to what you're doing now?
Think hard. And just like I said, just remember, you know, everybody, when something happens, everybody will have motivation to use their voice. But when it comes to actually putting in action, it's, you know, you don't get discouraged. Mm-hmm. when you think that people aren't catching on, when you think they're not listening. You know, you're going to have some low moments. You're going to be out there fighting, and you might think that you're by yourself, but just keep pushing, you know.
Okay. All right. What are, or who would be three people that have been, and, you know, you don't necessarily have to know them, but three people that you draw inspiration from that have inspired you? Okay.
Nat Turner. I don't know if you guys know who he was. He was a slave that did not go for slavery. he would burn the master's houses down. He would go to other places and free other slaves in the area. And you know, I would have to say the next people, my children.
Okay.
My children are a huge influence on me. They control everything about me.
All right. Very cool. So what do you think is one common myth about nonprofits that people like them, how people view when they hear a nonprofit, one of the first things they think of that really isn't true?
How easy it is to get them started.
Okay. Okay.
There's so much that goes into it, and you know, like I said, that question that you just asked about the planning and stuff, like there's a lot of planning that you have to do. You're going to have to write business plans. You have to think about things for what you're going to be doing in 10 years.
Okay.
So, like, there's a lot of deep thinking going on.
All right.
And put a board together. Put your board together first so they can help you along the way. And always, when you're making your board, think about what you're trying to do. And try to get people that can be an asset to your organization.
Okay. So what resources have been good for you that you've leaned on, you've pulled on, you know, that you could recommend to other people?
So there's one resource that I used, and well, I shouldn't say that, but Google.
Okay.
And you can't be scared to read.
Okay.
but there is this lady, her name is Tiffany. She has a YouTube channel. She has a website, Boss on the Budget for Nonprofits. I'll repeat that, Boss on the Budget for Nonprofits.
Okay.
We have had many conversations. I watched a couple of her videos, and then I reached out to her. She reached back out. We've talked several times. She's helped me anytime I had a question. And she doesn't really do 501c4s. She's a 501c3. And she does for grassroots nonprofits and small nonprofits.
Okay.
That's all she wants to help. And she's a wealth of knowledge. She actually has a show that she does every Tuesday night. And she throughout the week, she'll go and research different grants that people ask about, and she'll come back to you on Tuesday, and she'll give everybody a list of grants that your nonprofit can go check out, and she'll teach you how to write for the grants, everything.
And that was you said Boss on a Budget?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very cool. So, you know, not being afraid to pull from other people. You know, I think a lot of people try to reinvent the wheel when they try to start something instead of finding something that works and running with it. So,
in the IRS.gov.
Okay.
That's going to be your best friend.
Okay. All right. Now you're looking, you had mentioned having staff. What are some ways people can get involved with Vibe?
Well, right now, because of COVID and us just starting now, we're kind of hindered.
Okay.
But soon we're going to be I'm filling out for writing for grants, trying to be able to expand. But soon we're going to be needing paralegals. If you're somebody who knows how to write programs, and not like computer programs, but like I was talking about the business program, the housing program, mm-hmm. Things like that, where I could use all the help that I could get with that. We're going to be looking for lobbyists. We're going to be looking for politicians, you know, especially if you're in the Olean area, you're young, you're black, and you want to make, you know, so if you want to get into politics, we're looking for you.
Wait a minute now. You know I got to throw it out there, so I can't jump on the boat here.
I tell you what. Support any candidate who is willing to support our agenda, look out for the minorities and poor people of this community and advance us, then yes, we most definitely can.
And I know that. I just wanted to make sure that was clarified for the people that are watching and listening. Because it is
specifically created for black folk.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. No, I gotcha.
And in order for somebody to be on Vibe's payroll, they have to be black. We on the board, everything. If you're not black, then we love you, and we can help anytime that we can. But that's just how it is here.
Understood. Nah, ain't no worries. But I appreciate the clarification there. Sometimes people hear bits and pieces of stuff and they run with it and create their own thought process. But no, definitely when an organization is set up to deal with a specific group of people, obviously you would want that group of people providing the input and the direction. Doesn't mean that those of us outside of that scope can't help.
But if you're thinking about running, we will back you. There are some positions that are coming up here. Starts in March. We get your petition around.
Dropping hints, huh?
We need all we can get.
but yeah. So, how'd you come up with the name Vibe?
So me and my kids, we were trying to think of something that spoke for the moment of what we were trying to do.
Okay.
And my daughter, who she's my youngest, she came and she said, "Dad, what do you think about Voices in Black Empowerment? And for short, we can call it Vibe." And I said, "I love it."
That's a hit. I like that. I like that. Now, how can people contact you? How can they get in touch with you if they want to get involved, they want to help support, whether behind the scenes or, like you said, trying to help people come up, in different levels of politics, etc. How do they get in touch with you?
So we have 5716.org. That is our website. We have Vibe for Us on Facebook. You can email us at Voices in Black Empowerment 14760@gmail.com. And I encourage you to check out our website. We have sweatshirts, t-shirts that we sell to raise, that's how, like I said, that's how we fund ourselves. That's how we're going to be able to pay for them lawyers to get out there and fight. That's how we're going to be doing the housing.
Okay.
Everything we do is in-house. So.
What was the website again?
It's 5716.org.
I'm just putting it in the chat real quick on the that in the email. Putting it in the comment section. So everybody's got it. I'm excited about it. I know like with the police reform you had mentioned earlier, one of the proposals essentially that you've gotten behind pretty much spearheading in reference to that, the a community advisory board. In reference to dealing with situations with the police force. And so if you can, I don't know, how much you can go into detail or not because of the, the committee you're part of with the city. But just kind of share a little bit of that concept or that idea. I want people to know really the tangible things that Vibe is already doing, even in its infancy.
So, a civilian review board would be a group of citizens that get put together. The proposal right now is an elected civilian review board where we would vote for somebody from our wards that would represent each ward on a panel. And if an officer did something and there was a citation or a write-up or anything, the civilian review board would look over that and it would just create transparency and accountability with the community and the police. Right now, how it works is the chief would look over it, give it to the union. The union decides and says, no, he didn't do anything, or whatever it may be, and it's over and done with. We don't know what happened. We don't know any of the process that happened. We're not engaged. We're not part of that. The Civilian Review Board would put us as part of that. There would be a committee that would look over it. They would let the DA or the chief know, you know, what infractions happened, what they think the penalty should be, and so forth. And I just think that it would eliminate so many things that people are screaming about right now. Okay. Throughout our country. Accountability takes care of that. We don't have to worry about if a lawsuit's going to be coming up, because it's already going to be handled with the civilians. You know, and it's good for the police because it protects them also. We put video cameras, body cameras on them to help protect them, and this also helps protect them. If a citizen is putting a complaint on them and that complaint really shouldn't go anywhere, then it won't, because your citizens are looking at it. Mm-hmm. And it just helps all the community in all ways.
Okay. Outstanding. I think
if this is a living, breathing document, so we will be working on it more.
Mm-hmm.
The city will be we'll be talking about it more. There's a group of people that will be talking about it, having some videos. We'll be having at least two nights of public comments for the Civilian Review Board.
Kind of like town hall meetings.
What's that, sir?
Kind of like town hall meetings.
Yes, sir.
In reference to those.
We're going to do that. We're going to have them on Zoom for everybody to be able to come and talk and ask us questions. So I encourage everybody to come and just voice your opinion.
Outstanding. Yeah, I love that even in the infancy that you guys as an organization, and not just personally but as an organization, are getting involved in the community. And you know, is the goal to just stay like in this area and the greater surrounding area, or are you trying to become more of a state, more of a national type organization?
We can already go anywhere in New York State.
Okay.
The way that I set it up was perfect, specifically for that.
Okay.
You know, in Cattaraugus County, we have approximately about 13,000 people. We have about 1,200 of those are minorities.
Okay.
And in Olean specifically, we have around 642. So I knew in order to really do things, I would have to have it more than just Cattaraugus County.
Okay.
So yes, we can go anywhere in New York State, but you know, right now I'm concentrating on home.
Right. No, understood. Understood. I mean, you know, got to crawl before you walk type of thing, and you know,
correct,
definitely understand that. You know, that being said, I mean, what else do you want us to know about Vibe? What else are we maybe missing? The listeners missing? Or that you want to emphasize?
Just that we're here. You know, we're here. If you need us, please feel free to reach out any kind of way. We will be getting our programs up and running pretty soon. Like I said, I'm already out in the community, you know, fighting for everything that we can. And if you have any suggestions, if there's anything that you want to be said and you're worried about saying it, or you would like to see change, please feel free to get a hold of me. You know, I'm here for you. I'm going to fight every bit for our community. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I'm here if you guys need anything.
I think that's,
don't forget to support us. You know, when we're out there screaming and hollering, asking you guys for your support, asking you for your feedback, that's, you know, we're doing this for you. So please just be engaged. It doesn't take nothing to sit on your Facebook and answer a question. You do it every day.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, I think too that a lot of times, you know, people. they're afraid to have conversations because they're hard conversations. You know, especially when we're dealing with race and the disparities among minorities and those disadvantages and disadvantaged people groups. They're hard conversations to have. And last week on our house call, we're actually last Thursday, we kind of got derailed and went a completely different direction and started talking about some different things. And, you know, we're going to kind of continue that conversation tomorrow night. But the one individual, Steve, that was on with us, you know, made the statement. He's like, yeah, I don't feel like I'm qualified to even remark on this particular topic. And I think that there's that was valid and respectful. And at the same time, sometimes I think adding an outside perspective, whether it's a correct or incorrect perspective, it allows you to know what people are thinking. And, you know, then once you can figure out how people are thinking, now we can get to the root of why their actions are the way they are. You know, and so sometimes it's difficult to have those conversations. And I know, you know, from watching the committee meetings and, you know, a couple conversations that I've had with you, you're an extremely passionate person, you know, about what you believe, as am I. And sometimes when individuals are talking to people like you and I, they can feel intimidated. They can sometimes feel attacked just because, you know, at least myself, I'll speak for myself. I can be quite abrasive with the things that I believe sometimes. And, you know, when I believe something, you really got to be able to convince me in order to get me to shift my thought process. You know, but I'll hear you out. But sometimes if people aren't used to me, they're not used to the way I respond. And so for those of you that are listening, that are watching, that want to get involved, I want to encourage you to have the hard conversations, to reach out if you've got ideas or concerns, and understand that passion doesn't necessarily mean aggression. You know, when you're having these conversations with people, and you know, even if you're having them amongst yourself, sometimes you got to hit the pause button, walk away for a little bit, and then come back. You know, we can get so passionate about some things sometimes that we stifle conversation.
Ain't nobody scared of the pastor when he's behind the pew being emotional. So, you know, so you shouldn't be emotional, get scared when somebody's having a conversation.
You know, but I definitely appreciate it. I'm excited for what you guys are going to do in the area. I'm actually hoping to be able to work with you guys going forward on some different things and different ideas that you've had just to be able to help. And so definitely thank you for that. Now, is there anything, if you were me, if roles were reversed right now, is there anything that I haven't asked that you would ask?
I guess I would probably, if I was you, what would I ask? Do you have any double X sweatshirts?
Do I?
That's what, if I was you, that's what I would ask me.
Oh, I feel you. Do you?
And yes, we do.
What you trying to say, man? What you trying to say? All this fat, I'm telling you. Fat little white kid from Western New York. Definitely. I you know, encourage you guys to show the support, whether it's the engagement. Sometimes, you know, the engagement on social media is enough to get somebody in front of somebody that is able to make a step. Maybe you can't get it done, but you know somebody who can. And we all need people that you know, bring up our name in rooms that we're not in. You know, the room's full of opportunities sometimes. And so I want to encourage y'all, you know, an organization that's already trying to make a difference in the area and in the community. And I appreciate that. It's near and dear to my heart. So I, you know, I thank you for the time and the effort. Before we wrap it up, anything else you want to say to anybody?
I would just say, you know, like you were just saying, sometimes it's just, you know, answering a question on Facebook is, you know, I don't know if everybody knows or not, but in order to, when you're dealing with a municipality, the only way to get legislation or anything like that, change policies, changed, is by numbers. One person cannot do it. If there's not more than one voice, it will never change. So we can't keep standing on the sideline. We have to get out there and use our voices.
Definitely.
There's people starting to get into places that we will be able to go to, and they're there for us.
They'll listen.
There's people out there that will listen, yes. Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. I know the city's slowly but surely starting to make some adjustments and do some things around here because of people like yourself and some other individuals. So that's definitely exciting. And like I said, I look forward to what you guys are going to do in the future, whether I stick around in this area or not. But, it's...
If you're a Ward 4, I would encourage you to email your mayor and let him know that you would like to see Ezra Johnson put into that ward. Okay. And regardless of the matter, if he is appointed or not, he's going to need your vote in November. So tell your friends, share it.
And for those of you that aren't sure who we're talking about, Ezra is actually part of the panel of our Thursday night house call that we do. Those of you that are familiar with the podcast and with house call, he is vying for Ward 4 in Olean, New York, as an alderman, and definitely an individual that cares about his community, cares about his city, and wants to make an actual difference. Doesn't want to show up and talk and just talk. He wants to actually put his hand to the plow and make some things happen. I know a couple weeks ago, even with the weather the way it is up here, he was out, trying to, get around the ward and talk and meet with some different people. And that's what we need. And, an organization like Vibe is going to help people begin those processes, to get into those places, to learn those things. Because oftentimes it's just a lack of information preventing us to make a step. And if you don't know what questions to ask, you can't ask them.
That's right.
An organization like Vibe puts that roadmap right in front of you, be able to help you on a lot of levels, like we were talking before, not just from a political arena, but, housing and, that type of growth and establishing a generational legacy as opposed to generational curses, which that's a whole nother topic. But, leave something for your kids more than just some shoes and some hats. I want to leave my kid some LLCs and some property.
That's right.
Definitely appreciate you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to chat with you. And
I would also encourage you guys to reach out to your aldermen and let them know to vote next week on that task force. Olean is losing Siemens, and that is going to hurt our community in so many ways. And if we're not proactive about taking care of that, we're going to be in a big trouble.
It'll definitely be a blow to this area, most definitely. With that being said, we are going to wrap it up if there's nothing else.
No, thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Again, yeah, thank you very, very much. Again, in the comment section here is the email as well as the website. Again, for those of you that are listening, www.vibe716.org. I got to double check the comments. I think I might have put .com. But it's .org. You can go ahead and contact them that way and get in touch with them. Also the Facebook page as well. You said the Facebook page is
Vibe for Us.
Vibe for Us. All one word?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Vibe for Us on Facebook. Again, what's that?
Number 4.
Okay. Vibe, the number 4, and then Us. On Facebook. So check them out. Show them some love. Sometimes a like and a share and a follow and an invite can make all the difference. But again, Mr. Malone, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I appreciate it. Really looking forward to what you guys are going to do in the future. For those of you that are listening and tuning in, again, thank you so much for the love and the support. We can't do this without you, and we're only here because of you. So really appreciate it. Until next time, I'll pray for you. You pray for me, and we'll catch you next time on Reflections with Dr. Gary Harvey.
Amen. Have a good night, y'all.
All right, that is a wrap.